You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to pop culture and filtering it through the eyes and ears of the internet. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who are you?
I'm your other host, Alex Mitchell.
Yeah. And that's it?
Yeah, that is it.
Still no fancy title?
Nah. I need one, though. I think I do.
Alex the Money Man. Mitchell?
Yes, the money maker.
The
rainmaker.
The
rain, making it rain.
The rain. I think that means you're in court or something. I don't know. John Grisham.
Yes. God damn it.
So, it's our Thanksgiving episode.
It is. I'm excited.
Tomorrow, you're listening to this on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so, enjoy your time with your loved ones and...
And your turkeys.
Yes. And you got to make it home to Thanksgiving.
And your yams.
Yeah.
And your, you know, stuff you eat for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I haven't been home in years.
Thanksgiving. You're messing with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving comes but once a year.
Yes.
Every 300 years, so.
Unless you live in America and Canada, then you can celebrate it twice.
Every 300 years, we have a Thanksgiving.
The skies open up, and turkeys and pilgrims, and big multicolored corns rain down from heaven.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
It is.
Antonio Banderas may not have been there for the first Thanksgiving,
but he is here for this one.
So, you know what to do.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang! It was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you snap?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat.
Oh, look. Rocks.
Game over.
You lose. Good day, sir.
No! No!
All right. So, welcome.
Yeah.
One and all to our...
Thanksgiving cast, yeah.
Thanksgivagans.
Yeah, we got stuffing on the table, we got cranberry sauce and turkeys.
And Special K cereal.
Yes.
As we know, the first pilgrims had Special K.
Yes, and popcorn on strings.
Yes, and, you know.
Buttered toast.
They did that too.
Yes.
You know.
This is a shout out to Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving.
But yeah, so it's a Thanksgiving episode, so... What better way than to do that with some Thanksgiving topics about Thanksgiving in general? And of course, Doctor Who still.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we can't skip what we have, but we can't skip this. This is the penultimate to the two-parter,
yeah,
so it's not really a penultimate.
Face the Ravens over Gamora
don't
or whatever.
Know. Stop it.
No, but we got that coming. We got that coming.
Okay, so yeah.
But right now...
To start us off, Alex here is going to just pound us like he's pounding the turkey with stuffing.
I do that.
You're going to drop some knowledge, aren't you?
Stuffing you guys with some knowledge. This is from the NPR article, When Thanksgiving Was Weird.
National Public Radio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I want you to just take a look, and you're probably going to have to edit this out because it's irrelevant.
No, it's fine. I'm
describe.
I'm going to do as little editing as possible.
Describe what you see to me in this image.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Okay, so...
There's, like, little kids. One has a sack on his head. The other has, like... One looks like a cowboy. One has... I don't... Yeah. I'll have to post that with this. That is weird. What the fuck is that?
This is when Thanksgiving was weird.
Okay.
Oddest thing, this article starts. Thanksgiving in turn of the 20th century America used to look a hell of a lot like Halloween.
Okay, it looks like they're dressing up in costumes.
Okay. People young and old got all dressed up and staged costume crawls throughout the streets.
What?
In Los Angeles, Chicago, and other places around the country, newspapers ran stories of folks wearing elaborate masks and cloth veils.
I don't like that.
Thanksgiving mask balls were held in Cape Girardeau, Minnesota, or Missouri, one or the other, Montesano, Washington, and points in between. In New York City, where the tradition was especially strong, a local newspaper reported that in 1911, fantastically garbed youngsters and their elders were on the corner of every city. Thousands of folks ran rampant, one syndicated column noted. Horns and rattles are worked overtime. The throwing of confetti and even flour on pedestrians is an allowable pastime. So you gotta imagine, like, you're just walking around, kind of, you know, just dressed normally, trying to get to Thanksgiving. Some fucker throws flour on you, and it's like, well, now I gotta show up to mom's just like this. Like,
you get antiqued. So, wow, okay.
Pretty much, yeah. It must have been like a strange American dream. Of course, there was the familiar Thanksgiving fare for those who could afford it. Turkey, pork, apples, figs, and mince pies.
Pork. Okay. When I think of Thanksgiving.
Figs and mince pies. Okay. This is, yeah, this is from an era long gone.
How? What year was this?
This seems to be dictating any time between, like, 1880 till, like, 1920.
So it's like...
a weird, like...
Industrial Revolution, but early. Around World War One.
Yeah, around that time.
Okay.
Back when everything was a little weird.
Fig pies and figs and mince pies. Okay.
In fact, so many people participated in masking and making merry back then that according to a widely distributed item that appeared in the LA Times of November 21st, 1897, Thanksgiving was the busiest time of year for the manufacturers and dealers in masks and false faces. The fantastical costume parades and the old custom of making and dressing up for amusement on Thanksgiving Day keep up from year to year in many parts of the country, so that the quantity of false faces sold at this season is enormous. Popular get-ups at the time included the heads of parrots and other birds and animals, and mask coverings of various colors.
Okay.
Masks of prominent men and the foremost political leaders are made by some manufacturers.
What? Oh my god, that's always been a thing. That's amazing.
Yes. Some Americans wore masks that made fun of people from other nations with greatly exaggerated facial
features. So that's also always been a thing.
Yes. More refined revelers donned soft, ghostly painted veils made of gauzy mesh that both disguised and improved, according to a Rye Rider, a person's appearance. Most of the false faces crafted from papier-mâché came from Germany, but several U.S. companies got in on the act. So...
this is not Halloween.
This is not Halloween. Okay, you know how we said that, like, Christmas and Thanksgiving...
Yeah.
Christmas and Halloween were, like, those two weird holidays? This was one of them,
Why
too.
Why the fuck isn't it like this anymore?
I have no idea. Okay. All right, so this is Ragamuffin Day.
Ragamuffin Day.
Yeah, and let me show you the Ragamuffins.
I'm looking at children who look like Ragamuffins.
Yes.
If you can picture a Ragamuffin, that there's a Ragamuffin.
Yeah. In New York, newspapers advertised Thanksgiving masks and lithographed character masks for the tots. The Bowery Boys plot notes.
I'm reading some sort of, like, dime store novel. Oh, the Bowery Boys are coming to get you. It's like, what the fuck? Oh, the ragamuffins are in the streets.
All right. These featureless disguises were often sold in candy stores alongside holiday-related treats like spiced jelly gums, opera drops, crystallized ginger, and tinted hard candy.
Just things I picture old grandmothers eating.
Yes. Throughout the city, people wore disguises. There were Fausts, Filipinos,
what?
Mephistos, Boars, Uncle Sams, John Bulls, Harlequins, bandits, sailors, soldiers, and more in khaki suits.
Wait, why is Filipino just thrown in there?
I have no idea.
I guess that was...
This is in the New York Times, by the way. Okay. That's from 1899. Some masqueraders rode horses. Others straddled bicycles. Everyone was generous with pennies and nickels, and the candy stores did a land office business. So many youngsters in New York City dressed as poor people, Thanksgiving took on a nickname, Ragamuffin Day.
Oh my god.
Parades of ragamuffins, sometimes called Fantastics because of the costume, can be dated to at least 1891. Children would dress themselves in rags and oversized, overdone parodies of beggars, much like Charlie Chaplin's character in The Tramp. Carmen writes on the library's blog, the ragamuffins would then ask neighbors and adults on the street, anything for Thanksgiving? The usual response would be pennies, an apple, or a piece of candy.
It's like, hey, trick-or-treating.
Essentially, yeah. Well, look, here's more pictures of ragamuffins for you.
Yeah, they look like ragamuffins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're covering their faces. This kid's wearing blackface.
Okay.
By 1930, the library blog reports, some New Yorkers were ready to move on. School superintendent William J. O'Shea instructed administrators that modernity is incompatible with the custom of children to masquerade and annoy adults on Thanksgiving Day by asking for gifts and money. So this guy was like, you know what? All this fun, I'm fed up. This, you know, when I picture this guy, I imagine like Mr. Potter from, not Harry Potter, from It's a Wonderful Life. Just a mean, curmudgeon.
Yes, well, no fun allowed here.
Yeah.
No, not on Thanksgiving.
Ragamuffin Day. Others kept the tradition alive. The Madison Square Club for Boys and Young Men, for instance, put on, again, that's another thing you don't hear about.
No, you don't.
Put on ragamuffin parades in an attempt to bring order to the occasion. The 1940 parade, according to the library blog, featured more than 400 children and touted the group's motto, American Boys Do Not Beg.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Ragamuffin parades continued to be popular into the 1950s.
What the fuck?
But they were eventually overpowered by another burgeoning tradition catapulted into prominence by the 1947 movie Miracle on 34th Street. The new symbol of Thanksgiving also showcased people in fantastic masks and costumes. And in addition, hoisted giant character-based balloons. It was called Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Wait. Are you telling me that that parade replaced all this fun?
Yeah, pretty much.
How? What?
So here's one comment for you.
Wait. Is that how it ends?
Yes.
Wait. So let me get this straight. There is like decades of this weird child bacchanalian, like, everyone's making merry and like running through the streets in costumes.
This sounds like a thing where people would actually just get like shit faced.
It sounds like a more crazy version of Halloween. It's like less spooky and more like just that fucking fun.
Yeah.
People are dressing like politicians and shit. I'm Grover Cleveland.
It does seem like a lot of fun, to be honest. I don't see myself doing that.
Well, I'm Henry Taft. It's like, why? I mean, oh my god. And I think some of those ragamuffins were just actual, like, street kids. Like, fucking, like...
But that's the one day a year you get to feel normal, isn't it?
Hey, give me a fucking apple! Look at my ragamuffin clothes, I want a fucking apple! Oh no, sonny, you're getting a penny! I want a fucking apple! Or I'll give you what's good for! Oh my god, that I'm picturing amazing. Like young Jack Kirby doing this. He probably fucking did. Oh my god, Jack and Stan Lee probably did this.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
That is weird.
Like Thanksgiving, you always think of like turkeys and family.
You think it's a very clean holiday.
It's a Hallmark holiday where it's like. People in like sweatless sweaters and shit. And like
grandma's here, you know. It's a nice holiday.
But back then it was like, put on your fuck mask. We're going into the streets.
Yeah. And it sounds like today's like image of like if I were to put like the basic modern American family, if I were to throw them back in time to this time, it sounds like they get torn to shreds.
Well, that goes the people in the bird masks. Yeah. They're going down the street. Oh, they've run into some ragamuffins. Oh, ragamuffins ain't taking too kind of.
You gotta put your voice in here like this.
I want this back. I do.
I actually kind of want
this.
It's like,
let's take Halloween and make it completely unorganized, where everyone's just in masks, just running around. And
I mean, that's what Halloween is now.
No, but this is to a point where it's like, because Halloween's like, you just go from door to door, simple as that. This is just like, fucking do whatever the fuck you want.
See, I imagine in cities, this was like bedlam. Because over here, you know, where we live in the suburbs, it's not... I don't imagine it being, like,
I would, you think? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean...
Suburbs weren't a thing back then, either.
That's true.
Yeah, you remember
no,
that.
No, they get suburbs.
No, not yet. The whole tract home thing, like, that wasn't a thing till like the 60s.
Well, yeah. Then, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, that would have been nuts.
Oh, though. My God. This is amazing. This is Thanksgiving used to be, like, Thanksgiving you view as, like a middle-aged person holiday. It's like, yeah. It's like a nice family holiday. It used to be a fucking crazy holiday. And
I gotta ask my dad, because he's a little older, if he ever went in one of these parades.
But floats. That replaced it?
Yeah.
It's like...
It seems like we just kind of, like, we didn't like the image of it, so let's, like, doctor it up.
What's weird is just like, yes, those objects are floating in the air. Who needs all that other stuff?
I'm going to be honest. I've never been a fan of the Macy's Day Parade.
It is kind of boring. It's like, yes, a floating Lincoln. That's much better.
Oh, my God. We got to bring this back.
We do. I don't know if it... That, ragamuffins. They just fucking poor, poor children running in the streets who are in little street gangs with their razors in their caps and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Shit.
And that is when Thanksgiving was weird.
Yeah. It clearly is. Whew. Okay. Well, okay, so that's fucking insane and awesome. So, okay, so, before we are going to do Doctor Who today, but before that, when I was doing during Halloween, examining Halloween and, like, different things related to Halloween, since we're not doing an all-month Thanksgiving thing, I said, you know what, let's just attack Thanksgiving. Let's see what people think about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And they think some stuff. So, this is the internet on Thanksgiving.
All right.
So Steven says, in November... Americans celebrate the Brits coming, and in July they celebrate the Brits going? What a confused nation.
Well, I...
No, it's kind of true, though.
It's not that simple,
But it is, because you look at the basis of Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, the English arrived and they settled.
Yeah.
And then 4th of July is like, fuck you, England! This is our country! It's like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Alan says, every year on Thanksgiving, I make a list of things that I'm thankful for. I think God should be part of Thanksgiving. He gave us all good things, and we should be thankful for his blessings. And killing all the fucking Indians. So amen to that.
Jesus.
I don't know if this is a joke or not.
I feel like it is. I hope it is.
He sounded so serious. This is on a...
But it's one of those, like, oh, bam, like, swerve at the last second. Like.
So, Ferocious Shark says, I want to dress as a shark for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
You know what? If we had old Thanksgiving back...
I would do that.
You could.
You could.
Ferocious
you know
Shark.
What? You know what?
Your dreams can't come true.
All you have to do is believe.
All you have to do is fight to bring back the real Thanksgiving.
The Ragamuffin Day.
So Mike says, where are all the aliens and ghosts?
That's a good question.
I mean...
Where are they?
Again, if this was real Thanksgiving, you'd see tons of them. Yeah people dressing up as aliens and ghosts. So JP4 Revolt says... Abe Lincoln didn't give a crap. He caused the Civil War.
That's not true. I don't know what that has to do.
That totally simplifies things into a weird way. Like,
he didn't give a crap. He started this.
I don't like Thanksgiving, so I'm starting the Civil War. For those who don't know, Abe Lincoln had a shrill
voice.
As it was said, it sounded like a teapot going off.
I also heard that Patton, he doesn't sound like that. Like, he sounds more like apparently he sounds like a grandma talking. I don't know if
Hello, I'm General Patton.
I don't know if I want to hear the real voice.
That's not what you can do. No, that's not Patton, that's Kennedy. Mm-hmm. No bastard ever died for his country or something like that. Yeah.
No one ever died for their country, General Patton.
No one ever died for their country. So, the EHS 1964 says, "You are profess! Pagans kill the pilgrims and Indians. Great, the holiday is in Earth. Good night! Thanks for share it."
All right. Good night.
Thanks for share it. The pagans killed the pilgrims and the Indians.
Nice.
So, JHK4 says, and prepare for some lewdness. She's rubbing the turkey like a big fat... The guy got turned on how the lady was massaging the turkey. LOL.
Well, that's I don't think I need to touch that one. That's fine.
So,
that
is someone's great. Clearly touching it already.
All right.
So Lennox88 says, "Bush ancestor saved by rope. Damn rope. He isn't fucking real." To which Eman Drago 17 says, "You're not real." I don't know what this means.
He's being philosophical on him.
So Catherine says, "My boyfriend and I can only have soup and salad," shakes head, "but I am ready to show them Christopher Columbus this year. Jeez, what the hell?"
This sounds like a person that is not discovered the Thanksgiving. It's like when someone discovers fire for the first time, and it's like I'm ready. You guys got to see this. Like,
I don't know what the whole we can only eat soup and salad. Okay, so
that's weird.
Ajax Jam says, "I hear how demonized human beings can be. But the way those workers shot full of diseases and consumed the flesh of sick and abused children."
What is going on?
I hear how demonized human beings can be, the way those workers shot full of diseases and consumed the flesh of sick and abused children. I don't get it either. These are all... Every video I chose is just a history of Thanksgiving video. A lot of religious ones, too. So, Katina Hat 40 says, "Sorry about the... Oh, God. Sorry about the birds, but I have personally slaughtered..." No! "I have personally slaughtered human-eating ducks, quail, pheasant, and turkey." "Sorry about the birds, but I have personally slaughtered human-eating ducks, quail, pheasant, and turkey." So these are ducks, quail, pheasant, and turkey that eat humans, and she slaughtered them. What the fuck? Oh, okay. So Jordan says, "Okay, I have to calm myself down." Jordan says, "Emily, if you could please explain why humans have such huge turkey and why it's public. Technology in most appliances have an off switch, and when watching the evil people who force us into the first humans claim to have an expert in a deluded person's mind, when they watch the brain explain this, because we can stop the capitalists of our society and crush this horrible way of living." What does that mean?
I don't know.
It was a video about vegan eating.
Oh,
but I still don't get what he's trying to say. Technology in most appliances has an off switch, and when watching the evil people who forced us into the first humans.
Yes, of course.
Hannah says, "I have a kind of new sitting table. My Thanksgiving did not really bother me. I ate my family this year, though I honestly can actually murder. I know Gary would be so pissed if I did not want to be with his families and piss them off or make them feel like somehow I couldn't possibly slaughter an innocent.
I'm scared. I'm not even laughing anymore. I'm just scared.
Oh, God. So Mark says, a few weeks ago, I was at my grandparents' place, and I was happy.
Okay.
Then the chicken and birds... Then the chicken and birds grew at a normal pace, and they laughed at me. I simply got up and left my Arab family. They are an extension of your body, and now just talk about food and don't eat anyone.
Wow. Are you looking at cannibal videos? All no. These things involve, like, murder and...
No, I don't know what's happening. Okay. Julie says, my hubby is a native and has 5 years of me getting the meat. Yay!
Wow.
Fuck. Ugh.
Happy anniversary, those guys.
So, here's my final one. Oh, God. I don't know if it's because I'm sleepy that are so funny, but...
No, these are great.
Roly Poly Oliver says...
Okay.
I'll try to say this with as straight face as I can. With all due respect, I don't call Native Americans Europeans.
Okay.
The indigenous people were effectively killing an estimated 90% of native colonists. The rest still remain today. Almost every racist Native American viewed them as a nuisance, but they wanted to systematically wipe out the colonists. Ultimately, it was about essentially conquering turkeys and other animals. America is committing genocide on the last Americans. The turkeys, as a species, could have done that easily. Instead, they immorally breed grotesque amounts. It doesn't make sense. Call for a genocide on turkeys.
What is going on?
So, according to Roly Poly Oliver... The Native Americans,
they're not European.
No, and they killed the white man.
Okay.
They wiped out 90% of the Europeans.
Okay.
Of the colonists, but some of them exist today.
Some, I think.
But the true problem is the turkeys are overbreeding.
And we are killing the last Americans.
And the only way to stop this is to genocide. There's something about mundane videos.
You get the craziest motherfuckers, like, in existence.
Doing pop culture junkyard, there's nothing this crazy. When I view anything related to just, like, hollies or just things that...
This is insane. This is... Like, and I don't mean insane as in, that's crazy. I mean, this feels like clinical insanity that I'm listening to.
Some people should be allowed on computers.
No, they really should not.
Oh, my God. So, today we've been introduced to two types of weirdness.
Yeah.
Something awesome and something just fucked up. So, that's been our Thanksgiving episode, but we're gonna... As a little bonus, we do this every week though. We're gonna just talk about Doctor Who for a minute. So, if you're not caught up, just don't worry.
Yeah. If you're stopping here.
Stop here. But I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow, and it's fun and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, just enjoy the time with your loved ones.
Don't fear the ragamuffins.
Yes. And please genocide all turkeys.
Yeah. So, now on to Doctor Who. Let's get to it. Today we are discussing the penultimate episode, kind of, because the finale is a two-parter.
It's penultimate to the penultimate.
Yes. This is...
Well, you can say penultimate story.
The penultimate story. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. This is Face the Raven.
Over Gamora.
This is Face the Raven, episode 10 of series 9. And Some stuff happened.
Can we just say it?
Yeah, Claire's dead.
I now know how everyone felt when they said their Dune after Capaldi was cast. I'm not watching this show anymore. They took away my girlfriend.
Your waifu.
My waifu. That yes. Whatever the internet's saying these days.
That would be your waifu.
Yes. She is pure.
The main purpose of, I guess, to the main.
It's weird. I feel like I didn't even watch an episode. I watched like a bunch of scenes lead up to a very emotional moment, and I feel horrible.
Towards maybe the 5 minute left mark of the episode, it's like you could hear a million fangirls rejoice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about
the episode itself. So the episode opens with the Doctor and Claire. They just went shopping or something.
They're giggling.
Yeah, well, she is. They're having fun or whatever, and then they get a call from good old Riggsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Riggsy's like, it's like, hey,
Mel Gibson.
Yes. He's like, I got this tattoo, and then she's like, who gives a shit? And then he's like, no, it's changing numbers.
Yeah.
And so then they're like, oh shit. So they investigate it. Yeah, I do feel like this is just, it's, the episode just is only important for one thing.
No,
anyways.
I thought it was.
No, it's a good episode. I'm going to say that, but it's just.
It wasn't awful to me, but I'm going to be honest, I don't really give a shit about it besides the goal.
I think that's because of the end. Anyways, so they go, talk to him, and he's like, yeah, I got these numbers, and then his phone's all fucked up, and it turns out that he disappeared for a portion of time, so there's a mystery about, like, where did he go? Well, it turns out that he went to some place that's, like, a hidden street or something.
It's a trap street.
It's a Diagon Alley.
Diagonally!
Oh my god, I just got it!
Yes. You know, I read that the initial designs for it were not so Diagon Alley-esque, and then it was like, no, let's just make it more like Diagon Alley.
I mean, kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so what happens is they find the street, and it turns out that the street is a haven for aliens and, like, different beings from across the universe. They come here to be safe.
Basically, it's a refugee camp for people who have had run-ins with the Doctor, it feels like, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I mean,
which is what she said she was going to do.
Yeah, so tons of information. And Mi is back.
Ashilda.
Yeah. She's back, and she's, like, the mayor of this city.
Oh, I saw one of those crab people that David Tennant killed with a baseball bat that one time.
Oh, the Rachnos.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, they were back. But yeah, they're just different cameos, different aliens and stuff.
Sontaran was there.
These
guys are awesome.
The whole point of it, though, is that Riggsy apparently killed someone, and on this street, it's illegal to kill. There's many rules that
all violence, pretty much. Anything that would break the peace that is established amongst the streeters.
If you break the law, you die. And
you face the Raven.
You go
to the House of Pain.
You die by this thing that essentially it's like this shadow thing that attaches to you.
Yeah.
It's like a tattoo, and a shielder controls it, and so it counts down, and then, you know, so you can say your goodbyes and stuff. And then once it counts down, the Raven comes after you, and it's like this, like, it's a Raven that turns into like a fog, and it kills you. And you can't escape it. Anywhere you run in the galaxy, the universe, it finds you. So they're trying to essentially prove that Riggsy's innocent. He didn't really kill this Janus, and a Janus is an alien that has a head on the front and head in the back,
Is that a classic character?
It's a new thing.
Okay,
and it's like from myth, the Janus.
Okay.
One face that faces the future, and one that faces your past.
Yeah. So then, the whole episode is essentially proving Riggsy innocent. And that's the whole point. Prove he didn't do it.
And then Clara has a stupid plan.
To be fair, Clara's plan was not inherently stupid.
It was inherently reckless.
Based on the rules established, reckless.
It's another example of her thinking she's the Doctor, or thinking she's like she's as smart as him, or can do what he does.
It does seem like one of those things where you should have consulted with him before.
But again, we've been seeing this series, and even last series,
she's becoming more.
There's a definite switch between the a role reversal between the two of them, because it seems like with Capaldi's first season, so series 8,
yeah,
it was a lot of her trying to rein him in, and then all of a sudden this time around it's a lot of him trying to rein her in, because, you know, obviously spending enough time with the doctor, you just think you're invincible. Well, there's and you get
that,
reckless.
There's that moment where it kind of reminded me of the Day of the Doctor, where she's in the TARDIS.
Oh, she's hanging out with it?
Yeah, she doesn't seem to really
but she's having
it.
Fun. Yeah. See, and even the doctor remarks, like, it's become more of a thing lately.
Yeah.
Like, so she has no fear of death anymore. She thinks that there's no consequences, and I think it's great that the show is finally sort of pointing that out about companions, because that does happen with every companion, where it's like they start off like, I'm worried about this, but then all of a sudden once they settle into the role, it's like, I can do anything.
Donna kind of reminded me of that too, actually.
I know, that's a thing with all companions, virtually.
But that's the one that kind of stood out to me the most that I can think of right off the bat.
I think that's a trait every companion has, where they do start off like, and I mean, from a writing standpoint, start off cautious, and like, I don't know if we should do this, and then by the end, it's like...
And you become an asshole.
It's like
Rose.
Of course we could do this.
Yeah. Cause, well, because you've witnessed the doctor get out of so many different situations.
You're invincible, too.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a whodunit, and then they find out that it's a...
A whodunit.
It's actually an elaborate ruse. It turns out that, Riggsy didn't actually kill anyone. The mother of the Janice, because there's a son involved too, but it's actually a daughter. It was actually,
you see, yeah, these are things that, like, it's like, I don't care about
but
that you're saying.
It was a huge setup, and turns out that a shielder actually set this up for a reason, and the reason is that she needed the doctor to use this key that would essentially put this thing around his wrist, and the reasoning is that we don't know who it is, but
I'm sure we'll find out next week, guys.
Yeah. Or possibly is that someone hired her to do this and essentially said, if you do this, I will make sure that I'm not going to basically destroy you.
It was a deal. There was a deal broker to help maintain the peace in the trap street.
Yeah. So the doctor has this
teleporter.
Yeah, strapped to his arm. But also, going back to what you're saying, Claire made a dumb decision because we didn't address that. Because we started talking about Rose and Martha for some reason.
Yeah.
Clara overheard when someone else died from a similar way that basically the guy's wife said, give it to me.
Yeah.
And so she asks about it, what that meant, and someone else who lives in the street.
Yeah.
I realize that you're being immature and laughing at give it to me, you son of a... But, it uses a lewd. But so she finds out that, if you have the mark, you can pass it on to someone who is willing to take the mark, but you can't cheat death. Basically, you can move it, but you can't cheat it.
And that's the problem, is Clara didn't realize this. So her plan was, Riggsy, she'll hold on to Riggsy's mark, and then when the time comes...
Did she think that would reset the clock?
No.
She, part of it also is that she had Ashilda's 100%...
she would never let it kill her.
That nothing would happen to her, that she was safe.
She figured Ashilda was just going to take it from her.
Yeah.
But what she didn't realize was that when you transfer the mark, you break the contract, and by doing that, Ashilda has no more power over it.
Yeah.
So she's stuck with it. She can't give it back to Riggsy. So,
or have Ashilda remove it.
Yeah. So she does that. So the doctor's now has this thing on his arm, a teleporter, and Claire's fucked. And, there was a part of me watching this where it's like, it's going to... They're going to do something. It's going to transfer to someone else. So we get this moment between the doctor and the shielder that it's the...
That was the greatest thing
ever. That is the coldest I've ever seen the doctor in the history of the show.
After Claire's passed and he tells her, no, she wasn't saying that to save me.
Not even before that. Like, before that, when when he's, like, threatening her to take it off her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when she says, doctor, please stop, and he looks at her and says, I'm not the doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
You don't have the doctor in front of you anymore. Now you're dealing with me, is what he says.
It was just like, that was, to me, the coldest we've ever seen the character. Like, not being possessed or anything or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, actually, like, okay, this dude is frightening, and...
Capaldi's scary.
He can be very scary. Yeah. Like, he can be very scary. That's what anyone else who's ever tried to be that scary, it just doesn't work as well, because they don't have Capaldi's, like, vengeful face. So
I think at least Eccleston probably could have pulled off scary. We just didn't see it much.
He's scary in like he could be scary in like a thuggish sort of way. I think.
Yeah.
Capaldi, it's just like it's a different type of scary. It's like putting the fear in you in a different way.
So it's bullseye daredeviling. It puts the fear in the man.
God damn it. But so yeah, he essentially threatens to murder her and
the whole street.
Yeah, he says
he's gonna wipe out the whole.
Claire,
he said he'll bring Unit and the Zygons to the trap street.
He said he'll bring everyone. Yeah, like he said.
And he
said
also the Daleks while we're at it is what he is another.
Basically, he's willing to just fuck everything over just to save her, but Clara
tells him not to be a warrior, be a doctor.
Yeah, and so they have this dialogue, and it's back and forth, and he's fucking tearing up, and it's getting emotional and shit, and it's like, you can tell he's on the edge, and he wants to do anything.
Well, throughout that whole thing inside that weird shop or whatever, you hear the raven, like, you hear it cawing as it gets closer.
And I just kept thinking to myself, something's gonna happen, and it's going to be a last-minute save, and we're just going to learn a lesson, like, the doctor shouldn't go too far or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, a part of me thought when he was hugging her, oh, shit, maybe he's taking it on or something. You know? Like, maybe some weird's going to happen with that, and then he'll, like, transport, and he'll have to run from the raven. But no, that didn't happen. There was no last-minute save. Clara walks outside after saying her goodbyes, and she faces the fucking raven, and,
She does.
She says, let me be brave.
She throws her arms open and it flies into her and we see her scream in pain. Like she screams really loud, like she's hurting really badly.
We don't hear her.
But though, of course it's silent.
Yeah.
It's...
And then she dies. Yeah. And she collapses to the ground and she's fucking dead. And and so then the doctor, he essentially tells the Shielder, like what you're saying, not to fucking cross him. Like, don't... He never...
I kind of remember the line almost relatively exactly, at least the gist of it, which is... She mentions about what she told her, what the final wish was, and he's like, oh, you thought that was for me? No, she was doing it to save you.
Yeah.
Pretty much saying that, I'm past being saved. It was to save your life.
Yeah.
And you'll find that the universe is very small when I'm angry at you.
Yeah, so...
So he was like cold and scary. He was pissed off and scary.
But he did say that he would try to do what Clara asked
him. Oh yeah,
like, that there he would try.
No promises.
But at the same time, it's just like, oh fuck, all bets are off now. Like, and the fear in the Shielder's face was like, oh my god, she's like actually frightened. And so we have him being teleported.
To who knows where.
To the next time kind of shows it. But anyway, so we have him teleported, and his Shielder's frightened or whatever. Riggsy, I guess, goes back to his life.
Yeah, we actually see the To Be Continued, and then we see a little clip post To Be Continued of him.
He made a memorial for Clara.
Yeah,
up until that exact moment, my initial thing was, okay, we probably still haven't even seen the last of Clara. Somehow she'll appear in the finale in some way. But seeing the Riggsy's kind of memorial to Clara.
Because the TARDIS is stranded and he painted it.
Yeah, he painted it, put like a missing picture of Clara.
And there's like he painted like
flowers
laid
all
down
over,
flowers on he painted. And in one of the squares he painted a picture of her. And
I think she's gone. Like, I don't think she shows up in the finale.
I think if she does, it'll only be like...
What, Mickey?
Either Mickey.
Mickey, who the fuck am I thinking?
No, it'll... Why is Mickey on your brain?
I don't know.
It'll either be a flashback or a vision sort of thing. Like, if it is, it'll be like... You know how Eleven saw Amy Pond? It'll be something like that, or a memory.
And now I just got the biggest fear about the Christmas special, because now I realize that she's going to be the companion, not just a character in the Christmas special.
Oh yeah, no,
but she's full on companion.
Jenna was not signed on for the Christmas.
Well, but I'm saying that means the Doctor's wife is going to be his companion.
It's not his real wife.
I know, but you know what I mean. Because I can't think of the character's name.
Yeah, you can. You just don't want to say it.
No, Melody Pond is her real name. River Song. There we go. I really couldn't remember it, by the way.
Oh, I thought you just like didn't want to say it.
No, but that means River Song's the companion in
there. I thought it was gonna be more like a Danny Pink situation where he's kinda like locked into death. So you kind of could see her, but you know,
but no, she
death
just,
is guaranteed.
She's fucking dead.
And then she comes back as a Cyberman, because that's what happens when you die in series eight.
But so yeah, we get this finalization of her being dead. We have the Doctor transport somewhere. Riggsy is a dad, so that clearly probably means he's not going to be companion.
Because the Doctor wouldn't like he yelled at him numerous times, like, "Why'd you get a tattoo if you've got a kid? Why?"
Yeah,
because especially this dog, at least Capaldi, like the biggest weakness is and she even says it, a crying baby. The first crying baby will make him completely change his war path.
It is weird. While it's a good episode and all, and like the story's fine, I feel like that ending sort of just, it made all that goodness just feel like, well, this is more important. Like, the ending was just so, oh man. Like, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, well, my whole thing was I didn't really care for the story that much.
I did.
But the ending was more important than all that shit to me. And that's why it's like, I can look past whatever I didn't care for.
Yeah.
You know, so.
See, I watched it. And I know I definitely really enjoyed the story, but I'm wondering if I saw the episode as being more important than I should have. Do I see what's gonna happen? Because I saw it coming.
Yeah,
I saw it coming. Pretty much the exact moment she said she would take the tattoo, I'm like, oh, there it is. You're dead.
That's what.
And here's why. I'm not sure if I saw it coming for one of three reasons. One. This whole season, we've been talking about how they've been emphasizing her carelessness and that the Doctor has been insinuating that he's lost her.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's seeing something else, just something that played out in the episode that made it apparent, like just witnessing her recklessness. Or B, if it was you sending a gif of a crying baby after you watch the episode to us.
And Wolf also.
I was distraught after that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest though, that did kind of give
did
away.
Did it?
It really did, because
with everything we've been talking about, that's exactly all I could think of.
Something else could have happened.
Like they introduce an awesome, cool character that gets killed off at the end. Like, I don't care.
Riggsy could have died.
I don't think you would care that much.
I would not care. I would not, and not to share on Riggsy, I just wouldn't care that much.
How sad. Riggsy's the...
He showed up in
no,
that...
No, I like Riggsy, don't get me wrong, no, but I'm just saying he's only been in two episodes, including this one.
Yeah.
I really did think, though, that she wouldn't die. I thought what was going to happen was everything was just a red herring. She wasn't going to...
Like the guy from the Scooby-Doo case.
Yes. Thank you.
That it was just going to... It was going to essentially end with her... The series in general is going to end with her having a farewell, like saying goodbye, like... I thought that was going to be sort of the message, and the Doctor's like, I can't bring you with me anymore. But no, they murder her. They don't murder her.
So she's the second dead companion.
Like, officially, yeah, her and Adric.
Based on fandom, two of the most hated companions.
Well, I wouldn't call Claire the most hated. She's just, by female fans, she's hated only, really.
They're jealous. They're jelly. We don't have that much time left. I'm not the one who should be saying that, but what was... Have you seen
the
reaction?
Consensus.
Are people happy?
Here's the funny thing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And it pisses me off. Now they love her.
It could just...
So everyone's like, oh, she's dead now.
I didn't see, like, any negative things about her, like, or any, like, good, I'm glad she's dead. Now it's like, you know, even though I didn't like her threat, you know what, now I finally realized she wasn't that bad. And it's just like, you motherfuckers. Now that she's dead.
I do feel like maybe it's that whole, like, if you like Clara, you don't really care to speak up about it. Because it's like, I don't need to state my opinion on that. People that hate Clara will say...
Well, that's the internet in general. You don't hear as many people saying how much they love things. It's only if you hate something that you feel the need to let everyone know.
But like these are...
But you're saying if it was so bad that... You figured you would have seen war. Yeah, fuck yeah, the bitch is dead.
The problem is, you look at a lot of these accounts, and I'm going on Tumblr. A lot of these are Clara hate accounts.
No, you know what?
These are the same people who like post constantly that she needs to leave the show. Now we're left with the preview for the two-part finale, and...
Which is still very, pretty much, doesn't give us anything.
Really. Here's the crazy thing.
No, it doesn't.
It's supposed to be about like 95% Capaldi only. It's pretty much just him.
Like, you mean, like, just him?
There's just him acting.
There's no other actors?
No, there might be one other, but they haven't even said if it is. It's so, it's Capaldi trapped in this castle-like fortress structure. and someone's fucking with him.
Do you think we'll see old doctors or hear old doctor voices?
Maybe? People are always saying that because of the finale nature. Like, maybe we're going to get a multi-doc. I don't think that's going to happen. No, not like
it's
a
just going to turn out that they that wanted him are the what's her, the female...
Missy.
No. The one of them's an alien, one of them's a human, and then they've got the Centauran.
The Patronoster gang?
Is that what they're called?
Patronoster.
The guys who were like in a lot of episodes last season and have not shown up since.
Strax, Vostra, Jenny. No, it's
they're going to be the villains.
It's probably going to be Missy and Davros, but I feel like that maybe that's too obvious.
Yeah, maybe that's all set up for next series.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, it could be Omega. You don't know who that is, but he's pretty great.
And his brother Alpha, right?
Sure. But we'll see. Yes. I mean, we're not gonna discuss this next week if you're listening right now. There'll be no Doctor content next week, but the following week we will be having a Doctor Who special. A finale special. Yeah. The second one deserved it, honestly.
Yeah, and a finale deserved it. Really, the premiere should have kind of deserved it too. But...
So, just to wrap things up, on the Sadler scale, what do you guys give it?
I give it a 3.5, but mostly just because that ending was far better than the episode itself, I think.
They did this on purpose. They made it like a simple whodunit episode. Yes. Like, it could have been just a tip.
It was to compound the actual ending and how careless she is. Like, just the simplest of situation, and she's gotten herself killed because that's what the companions do.
It does make sense for her. No, I can't say that, but it... I accept this ending for Clara versus like her getting shot by like a laser
beam. So you're shot through the heart.
You're in the acceptance of grief right now.
I suppose yes.
No, because last night I was like no, but now it's happening.
She gone.
So on the Sadler scale,
I'd probably give it somewhere between a 3.5 or a 4. I actually really just enjoyed the episode for what it was, and then when that happened at the end. I was just sad.
Same rating as you, 3.5 to 4, probably more towards a 4. I was very saddened by her death.
I was too. I liked the character, and that's not just me being like because she's easy on the eyes and all that stuff. No, I genuinely actually have always liked that character. She's probably my second favorite companion after Donna Noble.
Yeah.
I'd say she's my favorite.
There's also Rory. God damn it.
Rory's, but see,
beautiful sweet Rory. He's a guy.
My problem with Rory is that we didn't get enough of him.
I got enough of the pawns. Yeah. For me, I wanted.
Why couldn't there have been one episode where it was just them two? Where
it was just Rory and the Doctor, kind of them bouncing off each other.
That would have been nice, like a buddy comedy. Join us in 2 weeks. Well, join us next week too, because we still want you to listen to the podcast. So join us in 2 weeks as we discuss Hellbent and Heaven Sent
forever,
and we'll see if we cry or if we're depressed or not,
or if we're strong and proud of the Doctor.
All right, so join us then, and until next time. Chills. I'm friends with the president.